And welcome back here to Charlotte. We are coming to you live from the ACC kickoff, the Capital One Orange Bowl Media Tour. It is sponsored by Duffy's Sports Grill. And Joe, we have a very special guest here. He is the other half of our Hurricanes coverage, the post-game show host here. Alex Dono is sitting across from me now.
Everybody likes that pregame. Nobody likes to do the postgame. Nobody I got guys go, I'll do the pregame. Everything's good. You can hype it up. That postgame's a different deal, especially when your team loses, right? Never an easy one. Dono, good morning, man. And by the way, before we get going, I don't know why they're putting Messi through this. All you have to do is have a medical, have your doctor. I can call the doctor right now at Baptist Health. Those doctors cover the team. We can fill out a form, send it to the commissioner of the MLS, and he's out of the game. A medical.
I know, right?
Yeah, that's all you got to do. And we don't have to go through this. Is Messi going to play? Is Jordi Alba going to play? All you had to do is call one of those doctors. They got team doctor, a Baptist Health guy. He knows how the game is played. We need this guy to rest. We don't want to lose him for a game because we're trying to win the MLS. I don't get it at all. Anyway.
I'm with you 1,000% on that, Joe. And then real quick, you mentioned, you know, nobody wants to do post-game. Luckily, the team seems to be getting a little bit better every year. Hopefully, that's the case again this year. But when you think about that post-game journey, because, again, when the team loses, it can be a sad, difficult thing to do. I remember, Joe, watching that Cal game last year, thinking, not only is Miami going to get wrecked, but I'm going to have to do post-game from, like, 2 a.m. to 5 p.m. after that. Thank the Lord they turned it around. So at least up until like dawn, I got to do a happy post game after that one. So that was a roller coaster.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what. And there are a lot of people probably turn that off, especially after the pick six, going, oh my God, they're gonna get like you said, blown out. And then if you missed it, man, what a hell of a that's a classic. That's a Cam Ward right there. Put that on top of the resume, man, right there for the way Cam played. Hey, speaking of quarterback. Carson Beck left North Carolina, and a lot of people going, wow, he's a lot different than I thought he was going to be. What'd you think?
Yeah, I had a chance, and I know you spoke to him as well yesterday. You know, I met him and spoke to him here in Charlotte, my first interaction with him, and, you know, sometimes you don't know what to think, Joe, because I hear, you know, all these Georgia people talking about how allegedly immature he is, and then during the offseason, everyone's talking about the breakup and the Lamborghini getting stolen. I got the sense with Beck, and I hope you did as well, that it seems like he's really serious and focused on football and, you know, focused on his team, which I know is one of the things Georgia folks kind of made it sound like. Maybe he's more about himself, but I didn't get that sense from him whatsoever. And I also feel like he's dialed in and really playing with a bit of a chip on his shoulder coming off of that injury, because a lot of people forgot how good he's been and how hyped he was a year ago at this time. And so and also Mario Cristobal, who's out here in Charlotte, seems to be pretty high on Beck and the work that he's put in over the past couple of months since he's been cleared to throw. And so I think what we have on our hands is an extremely capable quarterback with, you know, spent the previous five seasons in the SEC. He's got 2.5 seasons worth of starts and a 24-3 record at Georgia. I think Miami's in one of the better quarterback situations in the entire country, Joe, and there's no reason why this offense shouldn't be really good again. Are they going to be number one in the country 2 years in a row? That's difficult, but I think that they could be a top 10 offense, if not top five, again this year with that offensive line and that running game to go with it.
I would just say there are a couple things about Carson Beck. First of all, you're exactly right. Now, he's not Cam Ward, but he's on that same Cam Ward program as far as I want to get my stock up. I want to be good enough where and healthy enough that I got a chance to be a first-round pick. UM gives me the best opportunity with the offensive line and the weapons that he was talking about yesterday and the timing he's had with them. But anybody thinks he's just looking to get one college payday and he's done, hell no. There's a much bigger picture with an opportunity. You know, we made a big deal about the $1.5 million Cam Ward got paid last year. He was worth every dime. That guy, by the way, and not only that, he got more than a signing bonus. Being the first overall pick, he made tens of millions of dollars. He already got that check in the bank. So there is a bigger picture here for Carson Beck, and he's seen how it works with Cam Ward for his chance. So That was the first thing I thought of. The second thing, we talk about Carson Beck. Hey, man, every quarterback's different. They're not all going to have the Cam Ward personality where it's all business. You don't hear anything about him except he takes his guys out to eat, and that's it. I didn't even know Cam Ward had a girlfriend at school. Had no idea.
I had the same thing, Joe. I was talking about that yesterday. I had no clue the entire time he was at Miami.
That guy, listen, that was a perfect situation. He called it a business trip down here, and it paid off. He went about his business every day from the day he got here and started throwing to his guys till he left. At halftime of that game in Orlando, it was all business. And Carson's going to be the same way. Now, he got a little different personality, and they're giving a hard time. He's taking his Ferrari and going to Miami, and, you know, it's a little jab. But he's here for the bigger picture. He's not here because he got a Ferrari and he's making good money with the University of Miami. He's definitely got a bigger picture. And by the way, he might like dating a lot of different women. That's okay. If I'm the quarterback at UM, I do the same damn thing. That's okay. If I want to go out and try a couple of different flavors there, that's fine, you know, without getting in any kind of trouble. Hey, what we're really counting on when we talk about UM, though, we need to be talking about the team's more balanced defensively. They got to be night and day better defensively at every level. You agree with that, right? That's the key.
Yeah, and Mario agrees. You know, we spent a good amount of time talking with Coach Cristobal about the defensive changes, and you know, he the way he words it from last year, and he's not wrong. The defense lost their way throughout the season a year ago. You know, he puts a lot of the, you know, blame for that on communication. But, Joe, I think there's also clearly blame on personnel from last year as well. And it, obviously not all the personnel was bad. Like in the defensive backfield, O.J. Frederic, I thought, had a fantastic year as a true freshman corner. I thought, you know, Miami's defensive line overall played well. Maybe they were over-schemed in some games. But there were a lot of areas of weakness, not only from a communication standpoint, but a personnel standpoint. And I think actions speak louder than words, because Cristobal can say it, hey, we got to get our defense, they can't lose their way this year. But then you look at what he's actually done, Joe, during the offseason. He's done a ton to address it, from, you know, bringing in a new defensive coordinator, Corey Heatherman, who, you know, I kind of, the way that I phrased it with Mario when we spoke yesterday was, it really seems like Heatherman runs a Miami type of defense. And obviously anybody, you know, going back to Cristobal's older days in the program knows what that means. A lot more direct and a lot more aggressive. I think the players respect that. All the position coaches, except for Jason Taylor, who I'm glad that they kept, but everyone else was turned over from last year. And then so many new players, Joe. I mean, you know, defensive secondary, you know, outside of probably Frederic, was overall an issue last year. Frederic is back, but then they've got a ton of new guys, safety, nickel, corner, from Xavier Lucas to Zechariah Poyser, Jacoby Thomas at safety, Keontae Scott, who could probably start at the nickel this year. There's a bunch of other names I didn't even mention.
Yeah.
The personnel is almost completely different. And also, Joe, a linebacker that everybody speaks really highly of, including Wesley Bissaint, who I spoke with yesterday, you know, a new teammate of his in that linebacker room, Mohamed Touré from Rutgers, talking about him already really being a leader and kind of being a physical freak back there. And I know he's been working his way through an injury, had an ACL last year, like early last season. So I think he's healthy again, but he's still kind of working through the steps. But I think that's another guy who can have a big impact this year. So, I mean, the philosophy's different, Joe. The personnel is a lot different. I think Miami has at least put themselves in position to have a defensive transformation, kind of like the one Minnesota had last year with Corey Heatherman, where they were at 69th, 70th in total defense the year before he got there. Then they were top five in the 1 year he spent there.
Yeah, so I had two problems last year with the defense. I thought there were some broken coverages because sometimes guys are wide open. But more than that, cornerbacks couldn't find the ball. Sometimes the coverage was pretty good. They couldn't find the ball. And I'm sorry that – I mean, that – I'm shocked that it happened as much as it did. The other thing is, I thought the linebacker coverage, I thought Maui Noah really, they went after him. They went out, started going after him, as good as he was. And he did a lot of great things, especially sacks and stuff. But his coverage, they really saw that one. And when they had him in the game, on third down. They went after him, and he got beat pretty good. So just got to clean some of those things up, knowing everybody's going to go after your weak link, and hopefully you can cover it up. And the other thing is, I think the pass rush still got to be better. You agree with that? Like, I expect a lot from this group of guys. Some of these guys have been some of the top pass rushers in the country. Reuben Bain, it starts with him. We need Reuben. We need a 9 or 10 sack Reuben Bain to stay healthy and put up big numbers.
Yeah, I mean, Miami's sack leader last year was Tyler Barron at 5.5, and it was like, you know, he would have like one game where he'd have 2 sacks, and then 4 games where he didn't have any sacks, and then 2 more sacks.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit streaky, and it was, you know, obviously, and there are reasons for it. You know, it was a down year for Reuben Bain last year, but I think people are starting to actually now kind of understand the context of last season for him, Joe, because I don't put a lot of that on him, given, you know, he missed 4 or 5 games with a calf injury, which was suffered right at the beginning of the year. And then he played through a lot of pain last year. I don't think he was really himself. And also, you know, I know part of that defensive line philosophy, fewer stunts and twists, is something that they're looking for, more of a direct approach. But if you can get the type of healthy year you're hoping for Reuben Bain, and, you know, Key Mezidor is in his final year, his final ride this year. He's was here yesterday representing Miami at Media Days. I think that's a guy you expect big things from. But then, Joe, like, obviously the top line guys need to perform. There's no question about that. But I think what could potentially, if it breaks the right way for the Hurricanes, kind of set them apart in the pass rush is, are some of these younger up-and-coming guys going to really step up and have an impact? Like, I've heard good things about Marquise Lightfoot, you know, putting on a little bit of size and being more dominant in workouts and practices. Armando Blunt, who was, you know, a year younger than a true freshman should have been last year, heading into his second year. Even a true freshman guy like Hayden Lowe is getting a lot of love. He's already got an NFL type of body, first year coming out of high school. Malik Bryant is another one who's entering his third year who has an opportunity to be part of that rotational pass rush. So it's like, yeah, if you have 2 guys who are really good at rushing the passer, that's fine, that's great. But if you can have 4, 5, 6 guys,
oh, yeah,
in that rotation,
rotate them in.
I think I think that's what can set Miami apart.
Well, listen, it's no secret Notre Dame's going to come down here and try to get physical, right? In a month, I know, with a lot of discussion before that, but big offensive line like they always have. Notre Dame's got this great offensive line, seems like, just about every year, and they're going to try to pound it pretty good. And so we'll see how the front 7 hold up with that and still be able to cover guys at the same time. Hey, we got to go to break here. You're listening to Woody and Dono at the other end here at the ACC meetings and day 2 of the kickoff. A lot more teams will be talking today up there. We'll get you, keep you updated on all that.